Have you ever felt like you have this insatiable curiosity for life? If so, I want to welcome you to the Brunson Experience, a show about nothing in particular, but everything all at once. Join me on my journey to understand the world, ponder the mysteries, and learn from the greats. All right, guys, this is part two of my Gospel of Jesus Christ series. Honestly, these are just thoughts. This is not any kind of structured study. This isn't any kind of structured plan. I just sincerely found that for me, it was very helpful to plan on sharing this. So as I was studying, I was like, I'm going to make a podcast about this. And it really helped add depth to my study. So I'm going to share the thoughts more just as a way, if it adds value to your guys' life in any way, I hope that that's there. So I'm actually recording this in a janky order, so I'll probably release the faith one first and then this one. So this will be kind of odd that I'm introducing the series again, but that's where we're at. When I was around, I don't know, maybe about 25-ish, I guess, I really turned back to my faith. And I recognized in that moment that what had kept me away from my faith for so long was really just shame and a misunderstanding of how God perceives repentance. So this one was particularly impactful to me to study this. And I kind of want to share some of those thoughts with you. So my very first thought about repentance is, at its definition, what it means is to turn again back to God, essentially. It's a pivot. I used to think of repentance as you really screwed up, you're really broken, and you're begging God to forgive you and hoping that, you know, that he'll show you mercy, which maybe some people still think that's the way it is. Lately, I just really don't. I don't think God is some petulant, like, kind of child who is like grumpy at us and is like, I said not to, but you did anyways. And now I'm angry at you and I'll be angry at you until you show like sufficient amount of like sorriness and then I'll stop being angry. And I'm like, that just feels really like unevolved. You know what I mean? Like that doesn't seem like God to me. That seems like a 17-year-old who's like mad at his parents or something. I'm like, that's just a weird thing. But regardless, that's how I saw it. Maybe because I was a kid and I was seeing it from a kid's perspective. I'm like, yeah, like he's mad at me. Like I screwed up and he's angry that I screwed up. And rather than saying, I just need to fix it, it was like, well, I mean, I want to fix it, but I mean, I'm broken. That's the issue. Like I kept on, you know, that's what it came back to. It was like, oh, but I'm just broken. So no matter if I try to fix it, you know, a poison well is always going to like bring forth bad water, right? I'm like, I'm just a poison well. And so it doesn't matter what I really do because I'm just broken. So I keep bringing forth this poison water, but I keep just saying, oh, sorry about that, but I can't help it. And it just felt like this weird thing and I hated it. It felt just so, there was so much shame involved. There's so much like self-loathing, maybe. Repentance is not that. And that's the big change that occurred for me was understanding that repentance is not about shame. I think there's a place for guilt. If guilt is the kind of thing that says, hey, I did screw up, I should feel something. You hurt someone, you wrong someone. It's good to have empathy for that. And this is a big thing that I'll say that is very controversial and feel free to disagree, but this is kind of where I'm at right now. I do not believe in the God of rage from the Old Testament, who's just pissed all the time, right? Like that does not work for my brain. That doesn't make sense to me. I think of a God who's truly loving, and the sadness, and we talk about a God that cries, it's not sad because he's like, I told you not to. You hurt my feelings because you broke my rules. I don't think it's sad at all. God recognizes and lives by himself natural law, right? And if I've already published the faith one, hopefully I've gone into this, right? That if we don't understand who God is, then of course we don't understand what repentance is. Like one builds upon the other. And so if we understand a God who isn't just, I don't know, sad or weird, it's like, no, it's none of the above. God understands natural law. A parent can look at a child who's walking out toward the road and say, natural law says that if a car is going fast enough, it will kill you if it hits you. I can't control that. I can't prevent you from that. And this is another controversial opinion. I don't think God has, yes, he's omnipotent, but with that comes massive golden handcuffs. He can't just intervene willy-nilly. I think that that's the way I've always thought about God too, is like, oh, he can just step in and just wave magic wand if he wants to. And it's like, no, because he wouldn't violate agency like that. If he did, he wouldn't be God anymore. So he actually can't. So when God is sad, it's like, I'm sad because I can't save you from all these consequences. I can't. Because that would violate natural law. That would violate agency. That would be hurting you and the plan and everything. It would throw the whole thing into imbalance. So when God says, I'm angry, I think of it as like, more like a parent who's just like, I'm so upset. Like, you don't understand. This is hurting you. This is just, you're drinking poison every day, and I'm begging you not to. So anyways, that's how I see repentance now. I don't see an angry God. I don't see a petulant God. I don't see a God who's just like weepy because, you know, from like some emotional manipulation kind of standpoint, he sincerely just wants our happiness more than anything else on earth. He just wants that. But he understands that if we do certain behaviors, they will not yield happiness, like period, cannot, under no circumstance. If you kill somebody, murder, not like self-defense, if you murder someone, there is no world in which that is not going to hurt your soul. It just cannot happen. It doesn't exist, right? God knows that. So he says, I have a commandment, do not murder. If you do, he will do everything that the atonement can do to fix that. There's some consequences that the atonement can't fix. For example, like, you know, legal things and social repercussions. But anyways, that's the preframe. I just kind of need everyone to understand. Like the way that I see God's view of repentance is just change. Just stop doing it. That's it. You don't have to draw this thing out. You don't have to go pray for 3 days. You don't have to do those things. Just desire to change. Ask for the power of the atonement and do it. So that's one piece that I want to kind of point out. Another big thing that really stuck out to me as I was studying repentance was, as we have faith in God, faith leads to action. And that doesn't mean necessarily repentance action. I'm talking just, you know what? I really like this Jesus guy. And I feel like he wants me to stop doing these behaviors. That's repentance. I think that the more aligned you are with God and with Christ, and the more you just tune in to their voice, the more you tune into the promptings of the Holy Spirit, you naturally want to do what's right. I don't think repentance has to be something where you harbor your own soul. I think there's a place for that. Alma the Younger stuff, I'm talking about a different kind of repentance. I'm talking about a simple, it doesn't feel right anymore. It just doesn't feel like, I've had that. That's been the most powerful change that I've experienced. It's not been those like harrowing, praying for 3 days, that kind of stuff. I think, you know, amazing if that's worked well for you. But I think that's the minority. I think the repentance that really sticks out to me is when I simply say, I don't think God wants me to do this anymore. And not because like, I feel like, yeah, shame about it or anything. I just sincerely, it doesn't fit anymore. It doesn't fit in my life. I used to do these things. They don't make sense to me anymore. I'm going to stop doing those things. So aligning with God and knowing who he is and feeling his love will lead to way more powerful change than you just being angry at yourself. I think another piece of this is honesty. And I think this is a really important piece. I think that one of the biggest things that will keep people from repentance, even if they love Jesus, even if they experience all the great stuff of the gospel, is dishonesty, and especially dishonesty with yourself. If you live in a state of constant lies where you downplay things, you don't look in the mirror and just say, who am I? And this might seem a contradiction to the shame thing, but hear me out. Look in the mirror and say, who am I? How am I living my life? And as you start to do that, I really do believe you will naturally, repentance will feel so natural. Because if you can look in the mirror and say, I don't like that I do that. You don't have to hate yourself, but you can hate what you do. You can say, I despise that I treat people this way. I don't want to do it anymore. I do not want to do it anymore. And then you say, Heavenly Father, please apply like the atonement into my life. And Christ comes in with the price already having been paid, and he literally to chart the way. And I won't do an episode on the atonement because I don't understand it that well. But from my understanding of it, the way has been paved. Christ literally made it so easy that all we have to do to access the atonement is simply say, I want to. That literally is it. I want to. There's no crazy stuff. There's no like, I have to pay back all these debts or whatever. No. Just I want to. And the atonement now has full power in your life. And I think as you do that, God just really steps in and starts blessing you. So that's the other thing. So number one, repentance is not about shame. Remove your whole concept of the, for me, again, actually, I'm coming from such kind of like a strong opinion place. I feel careful because especially on theological stuff, I know that what I'm saying doesn't always align with maybe certain views inside the LDS church. I don't think I'm too off base, but I definitely have my own nuanced belief about this. And I'm sure disagrees with some bishops out there or some stake presidents out there. And if so, do what you feel is right, but I'll share for myself. Stop viewing God as an angry God who's just angry at the world and people won't listen to what he says and he's throwing a fit. It's like that's not helpful to anybody. And I don't think it leads to good repentance. Number two is try to align yourself with God and remove all the effort out of repentance. Repentance doesn't need to be like this crazy, difficult process, for my opinion. All you have to do is just get closer to Jesus, and that desire to want to change will happen so naturally. Like that. There's no effort. There's no crazy, like weird things that we try to do in the church. I don't know. Just get close to Jesus and it just happens. Number three, be honest with yourself and with others. And that will allow power to see yourself clearly. When you lie to yourself, it destroys your self-esteem. It destroys the confidence of others. And I think it really inhibits repentance. Number four is live in a state of repentance. Repentance is not an event. It's not a single thing you do once a week. It is a state of being. It's a mindset of every time there's something about myself I don't like, every time I do something that doesn't seem to align with God or with Jesus, I just go, you know what? Let's not do that anymore. And then I ask for the power to change. And I have faith that God can do that. So that's my thoughts, homies. I hope that's meaningful to you. I would love your guys' feedback on it. I always do. I know that I say that a lot and people maybe don't take me seriously, but I literally love getting DMs afterwards. They're like, hey, this is a crazy story that happened to me. Or like, have you considered this or something else that I think that maybe ties into that? It blesses my life. And I hope that you share with me the way that I'm sharing with you, because that's what creates powerful dialogue. That's how we create meaningful change. So thank you all so much. And I hope that you'll listen to the next episode on baptism, which I think I'll have to be more about covenants, but baptism.